and thank you for standing by. At this time, all participants are in a listen-only mode. During the question-and-answer session, please press star one on your touch-tone phone. Today's conference is being recorded. If anyone has any objections, you may disconnect at this time. I would now like to introduce Mr. Richard Weinberg. Sir, you may begin.
Thanks, Stacy. Hi, everyone. My name is Rick Weinberg. For those of you who I have not met, I work in product management for Tivoli Security and focus predominantly on Tivoli Identity Manager as well as some of our efforts around identity and access management governance. Today, I'm going to talk to you about the introduction of Tivoli Identity Manager version 5.1, which was released a few weeks ago, and how that's tied into our overall IAM governance strategy. Just a couple housekeeping items. For those of you that do not have the presentation in the invite, there is a link that says the replay for this call can be found here. If you go to that link, there actually the presentation will be posted there. I'll try to wrap this up with about maybe 10 minutes or 15 minutes to go, so we can have some Q&A, and open up the lines from there. So with that, as you move on to slide two. What we're going to cover today, there are, given the wide range of experience levels in identity management here, I want to just do a quick review on some key terms and points to make sure we're on the same page. So as we go forward and talk about some of those elements within the enablement session here, we're all on the same page. For many of this will be review, but I appreciate your patience. Then we'll go into how this, in particular, Tim applies to our overall IAM governance strategy and why this is a very important area for Tivoli Security and an area that we're aggressively investing in. We'll then go into an overview of the new capabilities that will be introduced in 5.1, are available now in the 5.1. We're really excited about this. We've been working since well over a year and having had some customers as key participants in our early access program and, have had, a beta program out there for several months now. And the analyst reviews we've had, as it came out to GA, have got some very positive feedback and believe that we've really added some real good value here, and particularly as our customers look to leverage operational role management in their environments. We'll then go on to some key sources of information you can look to going forward here as you embark on opportunities, and then also give you a glimpse into some of the additional coming attractions that you'll see later this year, and go from there. So with that, let's go ahead into slide three. When we talk about identity management, it's really about managing who has access to what, which is no surprise for many of you, but as you go on to slide four, when we really talk about the who, we're talking about the users that are defined in the identity access, the identity management system itself. This can be employees, customers, business partners, citizens, a number of different users, whether they're internal or external to the organization. And then, of course, there's going to be a number of related attribute information that's ultimately associated with that identity that there is going to be decisions made on what resources they're ultimately given access to based on those attributes that have been defined. So as you go on to slide five, when we talk about the what in identity management, the what is really the user account or, on a particular resource, say an application, and the account is needed so that the user can do their job or perform a function. So most ultimately, a user is assigned access to that particular resource. And examples of resources you can see there, whether it be an applications, operating systems, databases, what have you. But the important point here is there's some different components within this. So the user account, as it says here, as you can see, consists of typically a user ID, a password, group or role assignments that are related to that resource. And it's this group that is often used to manage entitlements, as you'll see in a role management setting, and it's assignment of users to those groups that are managed entitlements. Now, this is not the same degree of entitlements that you'll hear when you talk about Tivoli Security Policy Manager. That's really talking about fine-grained entitlements at a much deeper level than entitlements that are associated at a group level. Just want to make sure that you're aware of that. So an example here is in giving a flow, a user, say Jane Doe, has an Active Directory account, may be a member of the domain users group, an invoice management group, which gives her access to invoicing applications. So the invoicing application is really the entitlement, and membership to both the domain users group and the invoice management group gives her that entitlement to invoicing application. So, you know, how this access is ultimately granted, as you go on to slide six here, is through policy. You know, policy is really going to define, you know, who can have access to that resource and determine that, you know, it's usually made up of the membership itself and the entitlements or groups that are associated with that. Now, policy membership is often defined through roles, as we learn here, as role management becomes more and more pronounced and embraced in the market. And typically there are two roles that are commonly used by customers out there. One is a business role, which happens to represent a collection of users, typically based on their job function, say a financial analyst. Then there's application roles or IT roles, and some customers call them, which are typically collections of resources or entitlements. So that here you have, you know, basically these collections that are really, again, as they represent collections of permissions or resources, these get tied to the business roles. So you have ultimately a process to which you are assigned a business role, and then there are a number of accesses underneath that that are associated with application roles. And typically, as they apply to the group, they're more coarse-grained. And so, again, I'm doing a little bit of foreshadowing here as we believe that this will become fine-grained in the future, and certainly are investing in that area as well. So as we go on to slide seven, you know, really want to talk now to, you know, some of the key drivers when we talk about identity and access assurance that have really remained consistent. Not a surprise to many of you, I'm sure, but governance risk and compliance, cost reduction typically through, you know, automation of manual processes, and security itself continue to reign supreme on our customers' reasons for why they buy these solutions. There's not really been many changes there in the last several years. But as you go on to slide eight, our customers are still talking about, you know, not only IBM customers, but, you know, customers that are in green space, and talking about pains with current solutions that are out there. You know, first example is in the user provisioning space. Certainly, there's a tremendous amount of value that's delivered with user provisioning. But as customers grow in size of number of users, as they grow in the number of services or resources they want to manage through TIM, it can become more complex to manage as you try to manage that provisioning process in a direct one-to-one fashion. And certainly there's pieces of role and entitlement management that can help deliver more of an abstraction to manage that administration and improve the visibility. And we'll go into a little bit more of that in the next slide here about the role in entitlement management. When we look at web access management, feedback we receive from our customers is that, you know, when they don't offer a sense of business context, they don't provide as much value. A majority of customers are leveraging web access management for single sign-on. And while there's tremendous value in that, as they look to manage more authorization and access control policy, they're seeking more business context. This is really where entitlement management provides a lot more value with being able to associate fine-grained data level access control, or, you know, or context that you can associate with that access control policy. Example there, you know, say at the bottom, as you can see that, you know, a nurse has read-only access to confidential patient data, you know, for this healthcare application only within the corporate network. You know, the number of different attributes there that make that value and context associated with that access control policy, you know, just to have much more value in the process. Now, in addition to that, our customers are complaining about their ability to manage business conflicts that arise often during, you know, the granting of user access itself. So as they look at their business processes, they recognize there can be conflicts that are inherent within their business itself, and they want a means with which to manage the access and prevent access that presents a conflict in the process. And certainly separation of duties is an area here that helps that. Also, we've had feedback from customers that they want a more flexible and continuous validation of user access. And not only user validation of that access, but to make sure that if it's needed to be removed, that access can be automatically removed. And so certainly access certification, really it's integrated tightly with user provisioning, can deliver a tremendous amount of value here as a line of business manager can assess whether or not their direct report still needs access to that application. And if they've moved on, the ability to automatically remove that and to prevent, you know, any security exposure from occurring. We've also seen some feedback which applies to, you know, really the identity and access assurance solution, which we introduced earlier this year, in that our customers are really looking for more embedded integration with our security information and event management capabilities, particularly around user activity monitoring. It's something they want to see as an embedded piece of the identity and access management portfolio itself. You know, you can see log collection is nice, but they want to really see the integrated suspension of access, say, based on the detection of some abnormal activity. And then overall, you know, I think what they're recognizing here, what we've had is we pulled together a lot of these different pieces of feedback, is that they're looking for more of a policy-based governance around the identity and access management infrastructure, but it's been difficult. There's been a tremendous amount of market fragmentation out there, and so it's been difficult for them to consume and deliver that governance. And certainly it's something that, you know, IBM, we're trying to change that. So as you go into slide 9, we really see this notion of identity and access management governance is the ability to bridge between business and IT. And I'll walk you through this slide here, but there really are these five areas: role management, entitlement management, separation of duties, access certification, and privileged identity management as key segments today that some in their own right are separate, but they're very interrelated, that over time we really see these converging to present this governance layer that presents that bridge between business and IT. So looking at the role management, entitlement management piece, a classic example here, say Susan's a nurse, and being in the role of nurse, you know, gets her access to a set of applications, say the radiology, the admission, discharge, and transfer, and say SharePoint application. And within those applications, there are a set of application roles that given her a set of permissions that she's allowed to perform. But it's still at that group level that I mentioned earlier. And then ultimately, entitlement management takes over where it provides more of that fine-grained access control where you associate that time of day. Maybe you have some sort of metadata tag that you associate with the access control policy that says this is confidential data that you can only access. We really see this notion of role management and entitlement management coming together. When you look at many of the role management solutions out there today, they often stop their notion of entitlements at the group level. And so there's an assumption that's very important that's being made here, in that they're assuming that the native access control policy on that application is being properly administered and properly enforced. And so customers have been telling us that they want to see that externalized so that you are able to centrally administer and centrally enforce those fine-grained entitlements outside of the application themselves, and so that you can then associate those fine-grained entitlements to the roles that you've been assigned. So what you have is, as Susan is the end user, not only is she assigned the business role of nurse and the application roles that give her access to those applications, but then she also has those fine-grained entitlement policies that get tied to that same assignment that can deliver governance in an end-to-end fashion. And you have a sense of accountability because you know you have the ability that access control policy has been properly administered and properly enforced. It's a very key area of distinction, particularly as, those capabilities that are lacking in the space today, particularly amongst the role management vendors. Now, in addition to that, you know, we certainly see separation of duties and access certification as key capabilities that deliver ongoing governance. Again, are extensions of the overall identity and access management portfolio that deliver more governance. And then privileged identity management is an area that's very important to our customers as they see to build more security around the privileged user, say a root or DBA user, you know, who has more, you know, sensitive access to resources, and being able to manage that at both an administrative level, an access control level, and a user activity monitoring level. So as you go into slide 10, just quickly want to set the scene here. You'll be familiar with the pieces in blue at the bottom, the user provisioning, the access management, and directory services. What we've added to this are the IAM governance and the security information event management. The security information event management and the IAM governance together all represents this notion of identity and access assurance, where, as I mentioned earlier, SIEM, the Security Information Event Management, is a core capability that our customers are looking for in their IAM solutions itself. And then that IAM governance layer provides that business conduit between the IT and business that really helps deliver more value as we look to leverage the business side more often than we have in the past, particularly as security has become, and identity access management has become more exposed to the business in their business processes themselves. So let's look at slide 11 and see where TIM 5.1 fits in this. We really see TIM 5.1 as really enhancing our customers' enterprise IAM governance capabilities. We've introduced some new functions, particularly around role hierarchy, separation of duties, access certification, and group management that I'll go through in more detail here. But I think the important takeaway here with the overall theme of this release is that we've introduced some operational role management capabilities that are now a fundamental piece of the TIM platform. As we talked to our customers and got feedback on what they wanted to see in role management, they felt that these functions themselves, they wanted intrinsic as part of that TIM platform itself and not separate. And it's a big distinction between many of the competitive solutions out there today. You look at CA and Oracle, they're often going to require our customers to buy two different solutions to get this same functionality. Now, as you'll see in the coming attractions, there's still elements of role management that we do believe are separate, but it's this operational piece in itself that is very fundamental to TIM. So let's go on to slide 12. We've introduced some new functionality with respect to role hierarchy, which really simplifies and expands our customers' automation of user access, in particular here as customers look to leverage roles to manage user access. The role hierarchy is a means with which to establish a notion of inheritance through role membership. So this is more a customer will – it provides the ability to consume a role structure that's already been created. This is not the process of creating the roles themselves, but helps facilitate the ability to remediate user access based on the role structure that's been created. And so in particular here, let's give you an example. So when we look at the business roles, you have a parent role and child role. So in this example, you see that a physician is the parent role and a cardiologist is the child role. So if you're assigned the child role of cardiologist, you automatically inherit the permissions associated with physician. Looking at an application role or IT role example, if you inherit the role of, the IT role of being able to view patient chronic conditions and their allergies, you inherit the permission of being able to open a patient record because you'll need to open a patient record to do the function that's listed below in terms of viewing the allergy. So the value here is that you can also flip these parent-child roles in their heads. So parents can have multiple children, as has been demonstrated there and below in the graphic. But also child roles can have multiple parents. So a cardiologist can have a parent of physician, of healthcare practitioner, or employee. And so this is very flexible to mirror and represent what a customer wants based on the role hierarchy that they define in their role, in their role structure that they created for themselves. So looking on to slide 13, we've introduced with the TIM provisioning model the ability to have hierarchy. In the past, the TIM architecture was just flat, so anytime a customer wanted to leverage roles in a hierarchical format, there would have to be a conversion to flatten that out and define how that access could be driven. Now with hierarchy, you have the means with which to associate a user to a business role, a set of application roles, and the provisioning policy is going to administer the access to those resources. So the provisioning policy is going to associate the application role and, say, the group membership on a particular service. So, again, users can be assigned to the roles based on their responsibilities that have been defined, and then the roles, the accounts, and their groups are then assigned as members to the provisioning policies themselves. Additionally, we've introduced in slide 14 some role classification that really simplifies more of the user administration. So putting your IT administrator hat on, really being able to, there's a lot of different role definitions and terminologies that are out there, and some customers take a more of a technical route in their role deployment. Some are looking more of a business route, and some both. But the point is our role hierarchy does not force one classification of role on them. We provide the ability for them to classify the types of roles that they're using. And those business roles and application roles are the default roles that we introduce. But also custom role types can be created, again, based on how the customer wants to define the role structure that they have in place. Going on to slide 15, we've also introduced some separation of duties capabilities that really enhance our customer security and compliance demands. Now, this will complement the existing separation of duty capabilities that is out there on AlphaWorks today. If those of you are not familiar, go to IBM AlphaWorks, and there's a separation of duty and entitlements analyzer that provides detective-based separation of duties. Within TIM 5.1, we've introduced some capabilities that complement that. So now, the value of separation of duties, again, is this notion of being able to avoid business conflict that could heighten a customer's risk exposure. So, you know, example here, the same person making purchases, you don't want to be also approving them. You know, accounts receivable can't be accounts payable, right? So what we offer in TIM is the ability to provide both a preventative and detective control over role conflicts by being able to add, modify, and delete separation of duty policies. And we are able to exclude users from having membership to conflicting roles. That could either mean, say, a user cannot have, say, accounts receivable role cannot be accounts payable role. You may have a business process, accounts receivable process, where a user may not be able to have membership to a certain number of those roles. But what happens here is, upon assigning role membership or a user requesting access to roles, TIM's going to detect if there's a conflicting rule in place that will prevent that violation from occurring in the first place. So it prevents that conflict from occurring based on what the policy has been defined up front. Now, of course, we also recognize that, you know, our customers don't live in a black and white world, that there may be instances of where there's an exception that needs to take place. And so we offer the means to deliver a business justification and override that SOD rule that's been defined so that you can associate an approval workflow, gather the business justification, and now you have an outstanding violation, but at least you have gathered the business justification for it for auditing purposes. Now, as you go on to slide 16, we have administrative dashboard to be able to provide a status on the number of violations and approved exceptions that are out there. And this really improves the visibility to the risk exposure that's out there. So as you can see in these screenshots, you have the number of violations, the number of exemptions. You know, violations can occur whether through the assignment of role, via an automated identity feed or even when an exception is revoked. And of course, you know, these violations can be approved or removed to mitigate the risk as needed. Going on to slide 17, we've also enhanced our access recertification capabilities within TIM. So again, the access recertification is the ability to enable whether or not a user should still have access to particular resources. And that level of access is determined in different layers of granularity. So there's three types of recertification capabilities within TIM. There's the account recertification, so where you have account recertification that targets accounts on particular services. You have access recertifications where you define, say, an access recertification policy itself. This is really also the notion of a group where you have, say, an Active Directory group that maybe has some cryptic name that you see there, and you have the means with which to translate that group name into something more meaningful to the business, like a sales pipeline portlet. And then you have the ability to have a reuser recertification policy that does roles, accounts, and groups in a single activity. And that's what we've introduced and enhanced in 5.1. If you go on to slide 18, we've really now enabled our customers to be able to certify access, again, at all three levels, the roles, accounts, and groups. But we also recognize that this can be very burdensome to the line of business community as they look to recertify access for compliance purposes and they're having to go through individually into accounts, into groups, into roles, and recertify those. So we have the means to group this so that a recertify can have a consolidated response to which they request whether they approve or reject that access. Of course, they can still go and individually select or deselect, you know, group or account access should they wish, but they can also do so in a bulk fashion as needed. Now, what we've also introduced is as customers look to leverage roles, you know, roles, there's going to oftentimes be accounts and groups that are tied to roles so that if a manager removes a role, they may, you know, unbeknownst to them, be removing access to an account or a group at the same time. We provide the ability to see the impact or a preview of the recertification decision prior to submitting it so that they can see what's the impact of what I'm doing. And is the user actually going to need some of these pieces that might be removed? on to slide 19, we've also introduced group management. As you may know, in TIM prior to 5.1, we had the ability to assign users to groups from a membership standpoint. You know, but there's also a tremendous amount of delay that our customers had. In particular, they would often have to rely on the application owner themselves to create the group. TIM would then have to reconcile that group to bring it into TIM, at which point then you can assign a user to that group. And, you know, the business delay there caused a lot of pain, you know, for many of our TIM customers that are out there. And so now we've introduced the ability to add, modify, and delete groups themselves within TIM so that you can have that streamlined process of managing groups. And this is done on some of the key targets that you see in the slide here, both LDAP, Active Directory, and the different flavors of Unix and Linux. Now, it's important to note that this notion of group management is managed separate from the TIM server release cycle and is going to be part of the adapter release cycle. So if you have customers who have group management needs out there beyond the adapters that you see listed there, the provision targets you see there, let us know and we can consider those and prioritize them in our adapter roadmap. It's also important to point out that nesting of groups is supported for those targets, say like Active Directory, that support nesting. As you go on to slide 20, we've also enhanced some of the reporting capabilities within TIM. In particular, we've introduced some new reports based on the new functionality that we've introduced. So you'll have a separation of duty and user recertification master reports that really provide a summary for all the different user recertification or SOD policies that are out there. By that same token, we'll have more detailed reports at both the SOD and user recertification level that goes into the policy name, the description, the state of the policy itself, you know, the business unit that is associated, you know, much more detailed definition of the report based on that policy. And then, of course, a very important report for user recertification history that's going to summarize and provide a history of the user, role, account, or group recertification that's taken place, you know, which will be very important for auditing purposes. We've also provided some capabilities including TivoliCom reporting version 1.2. So now, for those of you that are not familiar with TivoliCom reporting, the value here is being able to leverage a common reporting console with which to have more customized reports across all of the Tivoli products, security or otherwise. And so they can leverage some of the common data elements from, say, TAM and TIM together for a custom report. And now we've introduced the ability to reschedule reports, have more email-generated reports, and URL access to those reports in the process. Now, let's looking at slide 21. The server support here, not many changes. You see AIX, Sun, Windows, 2003, 2008, and different flavors of Linux there. One notable removal that we do not support any longer, and it's just based on market demand, is support for the HPUX platform. So if you have customers out there that are on the HPUX, we've been in touch with most of them. But if you do, you know, I would steer them towards one of the other platforms as if possible. Going on to slide 22, in the middleware support, there have not been a tremendous amount of changes to the middleware support. So, you know, the upgrade from 5.0 to 5.1 should not be a burden from a middleware perspective. The only changes of note that I'll highlight is that we now offer, with TIM 5.1, TDI version 7.0, and later this year we'll be certified on WAS 7.0 as well. And, of course, from an upgrade standpoint, we will have an automated upgrade for our TIM customers from TIM 4.6 to 5.1 and from 5.0 to 5.1. It's important to point out as well, it hasn't been officially announced yet, but the standard support time for really all of IBM Software Group is 5 years after GA. And TIM 4.6 GA'd in June of 2005. And so while we'll be announcing it probably later this year, but I would imagine the estimated end of support for TIM 4.6 will be in September of 2010. So, again, as you look to your existing customer base that have and are deployed on TIM 4.6, they should really be looking to upgrade automatically to TIM 5.1 directly. Looking at slide 23, we have some additional information resources here. We've added an enhanced data sheet with some of the 5.1 content. The web page should be updated by now, as well as some really valuable capabilities for this IAM governance white paper. And within the slide set here yourself, these are hyperlinks, so you should be able to be brought directly to those resources by clicking on the hyperlink. But this IAM governance white paper is really more of a broader view of looking at our customers' particular needs as it applies to IAM governance as I defined it earlier, and really looking at some of the gaps that exist out there in the marketplace today and how some of our customers can address those gaps as needed. So going on to slide 24, certainly see TIM 5.1 as adding tremendous value, particularly as I mentioned, for our operational role management. But, as our customers look to leverage and roles, for their organizations, and as they look to, mature their user provisioning deployments, we certainly recognize there's additional capabilities that they're seeking that, frankly, they want separate from TIM. And in particular, we have a couple of second-half deliverables, both a role modeling assistant and role management assistant, that will help our customers gather more role management value. In particular, the role modeling assistant will be delivering the ability to discover, mine and engineer roles, and the role management assistant will provide more value around the lifecycle management of those role definitions themselves. So when we talk about that, not the assignment of the roles, but the definition. So as an organization looks to define their role structure, they often need the appropriate approvals from a role owner and subsets of approvers for compliance purposes to validate that role structure. And together, these two pieces will be future feature sets of a new product to be released in 2010. But we wanted to release a lot of this value early to get to our customers and our business partners, like some of you on the call, so you can leverage some of this value sooner rather than later. And I think it's important to note that these will be available as part of an open beta. It says in this statement of direction here, the limited beta program, we're going to realize we want to provide more value, and this will be an open beta that will be supported so we can increase the usage of this to our customers and to the business partners that are out there today that want to leverage this functionality. So as we look here going forward, at potential customer questions and responses, I actually already mentioned this earlier, but some people may be wondering when support for WAS 7 is updated. It'll be by the end of this year that you'll see coming out. Another important point is the distinction with the value that's provided in TIM 5.1. Can TIM 5.1 help me create my initial role structure? Yes, it definitely can, and other pieces of TIM can too, not just TIM 5.1. In that sense, it's done as a data source for key user access rights that TIM is governing. But really, the value of TIM 5.1 is around the operational role management capabilities, and the assumption is made is that the roles themselves have been defined ahead of time. This is really streamlining the ability to manage and remediate access after those roles have been created. Another question is how does the new role management functionality delivered in 5.1 impact our technology partnerships? Well, it's very important to point out that we will continue to work very closely with some of our key technology partners, like, say, Avexa and SailPoint, as we continue to manage our gaps in not just role management, but our overall identity and access management governance space. Certainly the capabilities in TIM 5.1 narrows the gaps to a certain degree in some of the functionality delivered around access certification and separation of duties. But in particular, there's still some gaps around the role engineering, the role lifecycle management, that we suggest continue to work with them in the process. And even when we come out with these capabilities later this year, the value that Avexa and SailPoint provide is frankly going to be still a little bit more robust than what we have in 2009 anyway. And so it still will be important to recognize and partner with these key partners, as needed, as you engage your customers. How do customers qualify for that upcoming role management deliverables I mentioned? I think I mentioned this already, but is part of, I mentioned separate beta programs. There'll be ultimately a future feature set, but it'll be an open beta, and will be most valuable to TIM 5.1 customers themselves. So, you know, just to think about some key takeaways here, you know, as we've walked you through these slides, I think it's really important that you all are, if you're not already, very aggressive about the role management opportunities that you see coming up. You know, as I mentioned earlier, you know, Oracle and CA in particular often require the consumption of two products to get a lot of the value that we've introduced in TIM 5.1. And, you know, as mentioned, our customers that we've interviewed from the TIM side really saw a need to get some of this function embedded within the TIM platform itself. And it's a real differentiator as you go up against the competition. Secondly, I think it's important to really partner where it makes sense, you know, particularly in the areas of role modeling and lifecycle management, as I mentioned, and continue to work with the folks like Avexa and SailPoint for that very purpose. And finally, you know, I think more often than not, you know, get to the opportunities first. You know, the area around IAM governance and role management is a very emerging area. You know, their customers are really looking to us to provide guidance onto what they should do. And the earlier we can get to those opportunities, the better it is that we can help shape them and what they're looking for and position it to our advantage from a technology, you know, and business perspective. So with that, I'm going to turn it back over to the operator and bring in both Pat Saunders and Mike Campbell to address any questions you have. And do want to just quickly send a special thanks to Pat for her help in helping in building this presentation. So, operator, if you could open the lines for Q&A, please.
Thank you. We are now ready to begin the question and answer session. If you would like to ask a question, please press star 1 on your touch-tone phone. To withdraw your request, press star 2. Again, to ask your question, please press star 1. One moment, please. At this time, I show no questions.
Oh, you guys got to be killing me. No questions. Okay. Well, I assume the other that is all the questions were answered here. If you have additional questions, I think you all have my contact information, richwein@us.ibm.com. Happy to answer those and support opportunities as you go forward here. Best of luck selling, and, again, please feel free to reach out.